Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report Sports Friday. It is Sports Friday. I know. I at the beginning of the week, I had the show scheduled for 30-minute segments, and it's still scheduled for 30-minute segments, so my intro song was not queued up to start this morning. So let's start by congratulating the Giants again for their win, 2-0, regarding the World Series. And the World Series will continue on Saturday night, right? I would love to hear from big baseball fans, especially San Francisco Giant fans and Detroit Tigers fans. I'm a fan of both teams. I like both teams. So, may the best team win, right? They're doing their thing, huh? Man, I know it's rough to play back-to-back Wednesday night and Thursday night. So, the Giants are leading 2-0, and Game 3 of the World Series would be played in Detroit between the Giants and the Tigers. So, wow, nothing like the World Series. And soon the NBA season will be beginning. And, oh, man. And last night between the Vikes and the Buccaneers, I didn't watch the game. I did watch some of the baseball game until it was time for Scandal to come on ABC with Kerry Washington. But shout out Kerry Washington and the crew and cast of that show. That is, man, Nashville on Wednesday nights at 9, Scandal on Thursday nights at 9. Those are two awesome shows. Love those shows. Just want to shout those two shows out. I love them, even though I'm still missing CSI Miami. I know some of you are saying, get over it. But I am. I need to resume back to watching the other CSIs. But I am working on getting my switchboard up and working. I'm queuing up the my switchboard on my MyTouch. It's one thing I love about my MyTouch, T-Mobile MyTouch. I'm connected on my MyTouch. So it looked like until I get my screen up on my notebook, I will be broadcasting from my MyTouch because I do have it up on my MyTouch. And I can see the switchboard and everything take off from the switchboard because I have strictly broadcasted from my MyTouch before, and it's been amazing. So just need my studio screen to come up, and then it'll be on and popping. oh my goodness, man! Had you all heard of one of the bands that participated in the Jackson State Homecoming Game Parade this past Saturday? At St. Augustine out of New Orleans band, as they were performing in the in the Jackson State Homecoming Parade, the bus that they were traveling in was broken into by criminals, was the other word for that, by criminals, and they stole cell phones, iPods, of course, money. Of course, those young people had items on. Valuables on the bus in a safe place while they were performing. And so Crime Stoppers is offering a reward for the criminals to be captured who've done that, you know, regarding a school that was here in town for a good deed, and then look what happened. So I had seen this earlier this morning on 16WAPT News, and let's just say you can't even have fun and travel and participate in activities while someone stealing your valuables. And so wow. But isn't that something? But I don't know. I'm speechless. This is some crazy stuff happening. But, of course, this is the day to talk sports, and that is what we will talk about. We will continue talking about profiling other 32 coaches. And I believe today would be Mike Tomlin and Lovie Smith, right? And hopefully a third, but of course Mike Tomlin and Lovie Smith. So have received some awesome music. SeaWorld High Fashion have completed part two to High Fashion. So tomorrow night is going to be a blast because you will hear new music, a lot of new music. Some of the favorites that I love to play, but most definitely you will hear new music. I've been getting all kind of new music, I'm telling you, and it's just amazing. So if your school or your team is playing this weekend, playing tonight, best wishes. Win, team, win. And the Cowboys play the Giants, right, on Monday? Because I've been getting invites like crazy from my friends in Big D. So what's up to the on-air Deepa? They have a super party going on Monday night. I received an invite. I love networking with those ladies. I love networking with all of my friends in Big D. But they're having a awesome party, which I do my best to talk about this morning. If not, I'll definitely go in detail with you on Saturday. So that's going to be a good game right there. Cowboys, Giants, good game. Tony Romo, Eli Manning, and their respective teams. So I'm going to pause right quick as I get this switchboard up on both my Android and on my computer screen, because that'd probably be a more effective way. And a big shout out to Lewis Howes also and his partner Sean Malarkey. Earlier this week, Lewis and his partner Trevor Turnbull hosted an awesome webinar early in the week in regards to Sports Networkers and the Sports Executive Association for the Sports Executive Association members. And yesterday, Lewis and his partner, his longtime friend, Sean Malarkey, they hosted two webinars. I attended the first one during the early part of the day on how to produce magnetic and very effective webinars. And they went over the different type of webinars that one can host to get the best, results. And, you know, just only 3 years ago when Lewis and his partner, Sean, first began doing webinars. And, you know, he's an athlete, and, you know, he had to retire from playing with the Arena Football League because he was injured. But he kept doing his thing, marketing and networking with LinkedIn, and he's a LinkedIn guru and marketing guru, and remains an athlete because he plays for the New York City handball team also. But one thing about it, yesterday it was all about business and all about how to produce effective webinars, and was definitely, I was listening, doing my best, and there are so many awesome testimonies of people that have been instructed and have learned a lot from their teachings in regards to webinars that are definitely seeing dollar signs. So I recommend you, if you ever hear about a Lewis Howes webinar, or just go ahead and visit his website, lewishowes.com, and you'll be connected to him on LinkedIn, on Facebook. You can like his Facebook pages and tweet him on Twitter at Lewis Howes, and his partner Sean Malarkey at Sean Malarkey. And, just sign up at his website, and then you will be in the know, because you'll get emails regarding when webinars are scheduled. So that would be cool, okay? So I'm working on getting the switchboard up. Like Murphy's Law is like, okay, come on. But you all understand how our computers and stuff. I'm a person that likes to be well prepared, but sometimes things happen that are beyond your control. So, excuse me as I'm silent for hopefully no longer than a minute or two. Go. I have it on my phone, my screen. I'm like multitasking on both. Yay! still going to work on getting it up on my computer screen. Then I'm not my post-it. Then I am broadcasting live on air. instrumental version of Austin Brown's Ménage à Trois. And before that, you heard Imprint from UK's Imprint, America the Beautiful. You know, we have to celebrate. You know, this is the political season. You know, just best wishes to everyone worldwide. You know, let's have a great weekend. And, of course, before that, Round and Round, Mars Mills. I hope you all had a blast with Mars last night at the performance in Chicago. And this guy was on The View yesterday, and amazing performance. Sai, and this is the Tim Is Mad Troll Mix that you have heard here before, Gangnam Style. Check it out on SoundCloud.
Gangnam Style.
Smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few. I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
Wow. Yeah, you all work on quitting, those of you that are working on quitting. I'm supporting you all the way. Hey, this is not sports, but this is regarding the storm. I'm sitting. I mean, let's pray for all of those that are being hit by the storm. And I was looking at the news earlier, and it was just hitting like the Bahamas and hitting Miami, and they were showing like the map of it of predictions of the storm, the hurricane going up the East Coast, up to the Northeast. I mean, it could have easily come in the direction I'm in on the coast. The Mississippi Gulf Coast. I'm in the capital of Jackson, Mississippi. And, you know, hurricanes are very frequent in the area that I'm in also, because, you know, Isaac came our way back in August. So I just want to send prayers out. I was looking at and seeing the latest report by CNN where they say Sandy and ravaged the Northeast, forecasters are warning. And this is an article on CNN from Ben Brumfield. Now, my live stream is going to stop in like 90 seconds, because, you know, I had the shows was automatically scheduled at 30 minutes, but now I'm broadcasting them longer than 30 minutes, back to doing the more than 30 and 45 minute shows, but I did not get an opportunity to take the time of this show to live stream for 90 minutes, so it's only live streaming for 30 minutes, but the show is going on and will not stop. I just want to let some of you know that. But back to Sandy's become a Frankenstorm and ravaged the Northeast, forecasters warn. Hurricane Sandy is a wolf in sheep's skin, poised to assail New England at the beginning of next week, with the potential to cause widespread damage in the highly populated area. It weakened early Friday, but remains huge and is likely to emerge with a winter storm front turning into Frankenstorm, as the National Weather Service calls it, over the northeastern United States right around Halloween. Sandy already left at least 21 dead over Haiti, Jamaica, and Cuba. 21 already dead from Sandy. Wow. It weakened to a Category 1 hurricane late Thursday and could drop down to a tropical storm before rolling onto land, says the Weather Service, but warns the storm could become a menace to the Northeast. Local forecasters in Philadelphia are warning viewers that Sandy could be a storm of historic proportions and that the city of brotherly love could take a direct hit. Residents in South Jersey have already begun stocking up on batteries and bottled water, and hardware stores have put up preparedness displays, reported CNN affiliate KYW in Philadelphia. One location quickly sold out of electric generators. With a cloud field stretching over 1,600 miles, Sandy is massive, said CNN meteorologist Pedro Javari-Harry. That's about the distance from Memphis to Los Angeles. Sandy should continue to expand in size, according to National Weather Service advisory. There is 90% chance it will hit the American Northeast, Javari-Harry said, where $1 billion in damage could mount as it rolls inland, even affecting states in the Midwest. From Sunday through Wednesday, winds of hurricane force are expected to lash exposed areas of Northeast Mid-Atlantic states, leading to potentially serious coastal erosion and coastal flooding, the Weather Service forecast. So you all be careful and most definitely stock up on things, on important items like they suggested. You know I'm in an area that is always in the midst of bad weather, like tornadoes and hurricanes and tropical storms and so on. Wow. So I'm also talking to friends in the chat room. So if you all wonder, like, what is she doing? I'm responding to my friends in the chat room also. So they say, even if it weakens to a tropical storm before a potential landfall, its initial winds could still be as high as 60 miles per hour, toppling trees still laden with leaves, which makes them heavier and more susceptible to gusts, according to KYW. But wind damage is not the biggest concern. With the load of moisture it is carrying, the storm is expected to dump 6 to 8 and maybe even 10 inches of rain in the hardest hit coastal regions. KYW reported it is expected to hit during a full moon when tides at their peak, which could increase the storm surge. The Weather Service also warns that the buildup of tides over multiple tidal cycles should years with miles of sand in New Jersey and people filled water and sandbags in preparation. We'll be piling up as much sand as possible along the beachfront, says Margaret Public Works Director Frank Ricciotti. I think the water damage is worse than another type of damage, and the hardest thing is to stop water, once it starts coming up. As Sandy turns landward next week, it may be met by a winter storm from crawling to the east out of U.S. heartland, according to the Weather Service. They could collide and join, producing an even larger, stronger storm. This could be like the perfect storm. 21 years ago, CNN meteorologist Chad Myers said of the potential damage. A combination of three weather systems produced the famed perfect storm in the North Atlantic over Halloween 91 when moisture flung north by Hurricane Grace combined with a high-pressure system and a cold front, according to the Weather Service. The current weather conditions are not duplicate circumstances of what produced the 91 tempest. Although Grace contributed significantly to the storm, it did not progress to New England and did not make landfall. Weather records show. Shout out to all listeners worldwide in the UK, in the Netherlands. Big thank you, Netherlands. Australia, the Caribbean. My prayers are with you, my listeners in the Caribbean islands and on the East Coast and in Florida and Miami and Bahamas. A shout out to those of you in Nassau. I hope you're being careful. On Thursday, 11 people died when Sandy pummeled Cuba, according to state media. More than 3,000 buildings were damaged in the country's east. Haiti's state news agency reported 9 dead and 2 missing in Sandy's wake. A man in Jamaica was killed. This Ebony Empress is a native of Jamaica. A man in Jamaica was killed when he was hit by a boulder sent tumbling downhill by the storm's rain, according to CNN affiliate TVJ. Sandy has proved to be a windfall for surfers in Florida, familiar with tamer tides, even hundreds of miles away. The storm kicked up powerful surf off Fort Lauderdale. Early Friday, Sandy had maximum sustained winds of 80 miles per hour, down from 90 miles per hour late Thursday. It is passing near the northwestern Bahamas and will continue fanning tropical storm conditions over Florida. To the National Weather Service, says predicts the storm will turn northeast away from Florida before curving back into New England. After merging with the cold system, it is expected to settle back toward the interior northeast through Halloween, dumping snow in some places, the Weather Service said. The Weather Service gave the hybrid storm the ghoulish nickname Frankenstorm as an allusion to Mary Shelley's gothic creature of synthesized elements. So we're praying for that horrific storm where many have already lost their lives to die down, right? So Frankenstorm, that is what it is nicknamed now. Happy birthday is today. It's your birthday. And wishing you the best weekend ever. So, you know, just enjoy and have fun. Today is also Hillary Rodham Clinton's birthday. She turned 65 years old. They're young. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, former First Lady also. Also, Bob Hoskins' birthday is today. Actor, he's 70. Jacqueline Smith, actress. Charlie's Angels, 67. Man and Woman looks 47. Pat Sajak, TV game show host, Wheel of Fortune, 66. Bootsy Collins, the name is Bootsy, baby. I'm going to play some Bootsy tomorrow night. 61. Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks, better half. You all know I love that couple. Rita Wilson is 56 today. Dylan McDermott, actor, The Practice, 51. Natalie Merchant, rock singer, 10,000 Maniacs. She's only 49. Tom Cavanaugh, is that how you pronounce his name? You know, I like him. That's how you pronounce his name, really. Actor, Ed, 44. Rosemarie DeWitt, actress, The United States of Tara, 41. Anthony Rapp, actor, Rent, 41. Seth MacFarlane, writer and producer of Family Guy, 39. Judd Hyder, Napoleon Dynamite, is 35. Sasha Cohen, figure skater, is 28. Country singer, hey, Keith Urban. What's up, Keith and Nicole? He's 45 today. 45 young. So happy birthday, Keith. and American Idol judge Keith Urban. And today also in 01, President George W. Bush signed the USA Patriot Act, giving authorities unprecedented ability to search, seize, detain, or eavesdrop in their pursuit of possible terrorists. And in 1774, the First Continental Congress adjourned in Philadelphia. And 1825 on this date, the Erie Canal opened, connecting Lake Erie and the Hudson River in upstate New York. In 1881, shout out to my friends, those that are natives of Jackson or Mississippi that listen to the show. I have a lot of New York City gives Culture Shock Entertainment Reports a lot of love. New York, New Jersey, Northeast, I mean, everybody, of course, California also, but I'm just saying, I have a lot of friends who are natives of Mississippi and New York also. It is cool to know that my friends, if I know them personally or not, that natives of Mississippi listen to the show and support the show. So I thank you. You know, I thank Power 105 also for supporting Culture Shock Entertainment Report. 1881, Wyatt Earp, his two brothers and Doc Holliday confronted Ike Clanton's gang in a gunfight at the Oklahoma Corral in Tombstone, Arizona. Three members of the Clayton's gang were killed. Earp's brothers were wounded. And as a lot of things happened in history on this date, 62, in one of the most dramatic verbal confrontations of the Cold War, American UN Ambassador Adlai Stevenson asked his Soviet counterpart during a Security Council debate whether the USSR had placed missiles in Cuba. 72, National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger declared peace is at hand in Vietnam. And in 84, a newborn with a severe heart defect was given the heart of a baboon in experimental transplant in Loma Linda, California. She lived for 21 days. I remember that. I was like 15, 16. Israel and Jordan signed a peace treaty, 1994. 2002, a hostage seized by Chechen rebels at a Moscow theater ended with 129 of the 800-plus captives dead, most from a knockout gas used by Russian special forces who stormed the theater. And nonetheless, again, to today in history, last but not least, in 05, the Chicago White Sox won their first World Series since 17 by defeating the Houston Astros 1-0 in Game 4. So that was a sweep. So that is courtesy of Associated Press, AP, and the DallasNews.com newsletter. So you all can, you know, if a lot of you get this in your paper. We don't get it in the local paper here in Jackson, Clarion Ledger. So I thank you to USE State, United States Real Estate, for following me in New York, New York. Thank you, USE State, for following me. Awesome. U.S. Real Estate, U.S. Real Estate, and the Twitter name is at USE State. Capitalized USE and then state is smaller caps. So thank you all for following me and listening to the show also. So that is cool right there. So it's, we have literally a little over a week to vote. Some people have already voted. And, you know, there are third-party candidates. What's important is that we vote, right? That's what's important.
Me? I started smoking one.
Excuse me. Quitter Johnny wanted to talk some more. But here's a PSA, and then we're going to go ahead and profile Mike Tomlin and Lovie Smith if we have enough time and talk a little bit more sports. We'll try to talk about Mississippi sports with you all because I know a lot of you love Mississippi sports.
This is Janice Nolan with the American Lung Association. I am Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy, and I'm here to talk about our report, State of the Air. In State of the Air, we look at the impacts of two of the most widespread air pollutants in the country, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is
molecule of three oxygen atoms. It's the most widespread air pollutant that there is in the nation. Ozone isn't emitted directly, but it comes when we burn fossil fuels, and it and produce things like volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxide. Both of those, when they get into the atmosphere and in the presence of sunlight and heat, react chemically in the atmosphere to create ozone. So ozone often shows up at its highest place, far away from the raw where the raw ingredients are made. Ozone irritates your lungs, leaving them with something like a bad sunburn. It can cause health problems the day you breathe it in, or even days afterwards. Particle pollution is a different chemical altogether. In fact, particle pollution is a mixture of mixtures. It is a noxious mix of microscopic bits of soot and ash, exhaust, chemicals, metals, and aerosols. Particles are the most dangerous and deadly of the outdoor air pollutants that are widespread in America. Particles that we're looking at are so tiny they're impossible to see. We compare them to the diameter of a human hair. The diameter of a human hair is 70 microns. The particles we're talking about are no bigger than 1/7 the diameter of your hair. And the smallest ones we're looking at are actually no bigger than 1/30 the diameter of the human hair. Particle levels can spike dangerously for hours to weeks on end, or reach high levels day in and day out for most of the year. We look at these in both ways because the impacts, either for high spikes or for lower levels at day in and day out, can be very deadly. The science is clear. Particle pollution can kill. Breathing it can lead to heart attacks, asthma attacks, and strokes, and it can affect how your children's lungs grow and develop. Particle pollution may be even more deadly than we previously thought. Recently, California experts tripled their estimate of the number of people that particle pollution kills each year in California. And that number is roughly 18,000, the equivalent of a small city.
rock and roll, man. Hey, hey, hey. So that's Extreme Woody. That's my friend, verbnation.com. Check him out there. And also like his Facebook page, Extreme Woody. That's rock and roll, man. Well, there's a lot of things going on. It's the rain here today in Jackson, Mississippi. Today, film festival started today downtown. So check out Edward St. Pay. Before the end of the broadcast, I'll provide you with the website so you can get more information. But then, because I've thought about going to some of the workshops today, but I have a lot to do, to be honest. I need to go to those workshops. And tomorrow they'll be having more events, festival, and a zombie ball on tomorrow night, and so on. Mississippi, I think it's Mississippi Film Org, if I'm not mistaken. I do my best to give you all the accurate information, but you can pretty much Google Edward St. Pay, and also if you Google him, you'll get all the information. But I think it's Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken, MSFilm.org. I'm friends with him because more than a few years back, I had thought about. I was interested in producing a show on his radio show, the radio station WLEZ.com here in Jackson. Also, he is the owner and experienced. Not only is he an experienced musician and actor, but he is a long-time meteorologist. And so his radio station and his company, Weather Vision, are located together. But this is like the third year, I think, of the film festival, and it begins today and tomorrow. So I just wanted to remind you, some of you that might be in town and didn't know about it, there's like other Halloween parties going on. But tomorrow is going to be a fun day where I work out at the Jackson Roadmap to a Health Equity Project located on Woodrow Wilson in the old New Deal building. Tomorrow is going to be a fun day filled with 5K run, walk events, and events for the kids and our whole family. So you can check that out right there, the Jackson Roadmap to Health Equity Project, Farmers Market, and the where I talk about where I've been a member of for a few weeks now. And I will be returning beginning of next week. I thought I would be maybe going to that event. There's a lot of events going on. There's a health and wellness fitness expo going on at the Medical Mall, which is right there. You can go to both of those events, to be honest, because if I was going to both of those events, if I was going in that direction tomorrow, I'd be going to both of them. And there's just a host of things happening. You all should visit jackson.com to really get to know what's happening and sign up to receive newsletters. So you'll know what's going on here in Jackson, Mississippi. And also visit mississippi.org, if I'm not mistaken, for information regarding Mississippi. And there's a big day coming up tomorrow in Big D also. And my attorney, crazy friend, Jay Lucas, he is recommending everyone to check out the deck part. Dallas Deck Park will be having its grand opening on tomorrow, and I have posted like some news stories on my Twitter feeds and Facebook and so on. So those of you that are visiting Dallas, check that out. Man, that's going to be a fun grand opening. But Attorney Jay, he had an opportunity to experience it and checking it out early, so that's why he recommends others to check it out also. Okay. But again, thank you for checking out the show and tuning in. Because, you know, all we do is win.
Okay, ain't nobody fucking with my crew. As I look around, they don't do it like my clique. All these bad bitches, man, they want to. They want to.
Man, drop that shit for these fuck niggas. Man,
golden. Everybody hands go up. And they say yeah. And they say yeah.
Profiling Michael Tomlin, born March the 15th, 1972. He's the current head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers of the National Football League. Tomlin is the third youngest head coach in any of the four major North American professional sports, not just the NFL. This is like a trivia question. Tomlin is the third youngest head coach in any of the four major North American professional sports. He is the 10th African American head coach in NFL history and the first in Steelers history. With the Steelers' victory at the Super Bowl in February 2009, Tomlin became the youngest head coach to lead his team to Super Bowl victory. The youngest, they didn't say the youngest black coach, they said the youngest head coach to lead his team to a Super Bowl victory. Tomlin's career, his playing career, he grew up in Newport News, Virginia. He attended Denby High School and was a three-year starter as a wide receiver and a tight end for the College of Women Mary, where he became a member of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. So he's a Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. He finished his career with a school record of 20 touchdown catches. You know, I have a good rapport with frats. So he's a Kappa Alpha Psi. He was a second-team All-Yankee Conference selection in 1994. Tomlin never played in the NFL. Also in college, his college career, Tomlin's coaching career began in 1995 as the wide receiver coach at Virginia Military Institute. Under former West Virginia University head coach Bill Stewart, He spent the 1996 season as a graduate assistant at the University of Memphis, where he worked with the defensive backs and special teams. Following a brief stint on the University of Tennessee at Martin's coaching staff, Tomlin was hired by Arkansas State University in 1997 to coach its defensive backs. Tomlin stayed there for 2 seasons before being hired as defensive backs coach by the University of Cincinnati. All of Tomlin's coaching jobs at the college level were for the NCAA division teams. And his career in the National Football League has been as this. Tomlin was hired as defensive backs coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2001, where he first learned the Tampa 2 defense that he would use in later coaching jobs. In 2002 and 2005, the Buccaneers led the NFL in total defense, fewest yards allowed per game. During Tomlin's tenure, the defense never ranked worse than 6th overall. When the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl in 2003, the team recorded 5 interceptions, 3 of which were returned for touchdowns. Tomlin was selected by the Vikings head coach Brad Childress to be his defensive coordinator in 2006. 2 of the players on the Vikings were older than Tomlin, and Tomlin had been a teammate of Vikings safety Darren Sharper. Darren! Ed Wim and Mary. The 2006 Vikings finished with the NFL's 8th best overall defense, but had the unusual distinction of finishing as the top-ranked defense against the run and the worst-ranked defense against the pass. As a head coach, Tomlin became the 16th Steelers head coach on January 22, 2007, when he was hired to replace Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher was a very awesome coach who resigned after spending 15 years with the team. Tomlin had also interviewed for the head coaching vacancy with Miami Dolphins, which eventually was given to Cam Cameron. With Tomlin, the Steelers continued a trend of hiring head coaches in their 30s. The others were Cowher, age 34 and 92, Chuck Noll, 38 and 69, Bill Austin, 38 and 66, John Michelson, 32 and 48, Jim Leonard, 35 and 45, Aldo Danelli, 33 and 41, Walt Kinsland, 35 and 39, Johnny Blood McNally, 33 and 37, and Joe Buck, who was 36 in 1935 when he was hired. Tomlin is the 10th African-American head coach, like I said before, in NFL history and the first in Steelers franchise history. Steelers owner Dan Rooney has served as the head of the NFL's diversity committee and proposed the Rooney Rule, requiring that teams interview minority candidates when selected in a head coach. Although Tomlin's ascension to an NFL head coaching job has been cited as evidence of the rule working as intended, Rooney himself disputes this, as he had already interviewed a minority candidate prior to interviewing Tomlin. Terms of Tomlin's contract was not officially released. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported a 4-year deal paying $2.5 million per year with an option for a 5th year. He is the team's 3rd consecutive head coach to win his first game and the first in team history to win his first game against the rival Cleveland Browns. In contrast to Bill Cowher, who only retained longtime running backs coach Dick Hoke from Chuck Noll's staff, Hoke himself retired just before Cowher's resignation, Tomlin did retain many of Cowher's assistants, most notably defensive coordinator Dick LeBeau, despite his contrasting defensive philosophy with Tomlin. This was done in order to keep team chemistry with the players. Since the team was only 1 year removed from a Super Bowl win at the time of Tomlin's hiring, the Steelers finished Tomlin's first season as head coach with the top-ranked defense in the NFL. Tomlin led the Steelers to the 2007 AFC North Division Championship and a 10-6 record in his first year as head coach. The Steelers lost in the first round of the playoffs to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 31-29. Tomlin began his career with a 15-7 record in regular season play, as did his predecessor, Cowher, and all-team win leader, Don Shula. Tomlin set a Steelers record for most wins after winning 22 games in his first 2 seasons as head coach. In addition, he became the first Steelers coach to win division titles in his first 2 seasons. When the Steelers defeated the Baltimore Ravens in the 2008 AFC Championship game, Mike Tomlin became the youngest NFL head coach to lead his team to a Super Bowl. He also became the 3rd African-American to coach a team to the Super Bowl, following Chicago's Lovie Smith and Indianapolis' Tony Dungy. The 2 opposing coaches in Super Bowl XLI, y'all, I told you I got to go to chart of the Roman numerals. After two seasons, I used to know him, really. After two seasons with a record of 22-10, he was the winningest coach in Steelers history based on a winning percentage, 68.8%. On January 29th, Mike Tomlin was named the 08 Motorola NFL Coach of the Year. On February 1st, 2009, at age 36, Tomlin became the youngest coach to win a Super Bowl when the Steelers defeated the Arizona Cardinals in Super Bowl. That was like Super Bowl. I don't want to say. I remember. Beating the previous record held by John Gruden, who was 39, when he won his Super Bowl. On July 13, 2010, Tomlin signed a 3-year contract extension with the Steelers. On November 13, 2011, Tomlin won his 50th game as the Steelers head coach with a 24-17 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. Of the team's 16 head coaches, Tomlin was the fourth to reach his milestone. On July 24, 2012, Tomlin received a 3-year contract extension through 16 seasons. The financial terms were not disclosed. I remember hearing it. Tomlin was born as Michael Petaway Tomlin and is the younger of two sons. His brother Eddie is 3.5 years older. Their father, Ed Tomlin, played football at Hampton Institute in the 60s and was drafted by the Baltimore Colts. He later played for the Montreal Alouettes in the Canadian Football League. The elder Tomlin died in January 2012 of an apparent heart attack in Ocala, Florida, at the age of 63. Tomlin's mother, Julia, married Leslie Copeland, a supervisor for the U.S. Postal Service, in 80. Tomlin met his wife, Kaya, I like that name, Winston, while they were students at the College of Women Mary, where Tomlin majored in sociology. He graduated in 95. They have three children, sons Michael Dean, born in 2000, and Mason, born in 02, and a daughter, Harlan Quinn, born in 06. That's a beautiful name. Tomlin resides with his family in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh and attends the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. Tomlin is a Spring 91 initiate of the Eta Omega chapter at Old Dominion University and charter member of the Xi Theta chapter of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. The College of Women Mary, Tomlin is popularly known for his uncanny resemblance to the actor Omar Epps. Tomlin's name was referenced on an episode of TV series House in November 09 in episode 8 of season 6. Ignorance is bliss when House mentions feeling like Michael Tomlin because of having his team back, then states probably not as much as Foreman Epps' character. And so he has an amazing record in regards to coaching record in regards versus other teams. Regular season, so just an amazing record and so on. So that is Mike Tomlin, the profile of Mike Tomlin. His head his career highlights has been 08, he won the Motorola NFL Coach of the Year Award. And his coaching record, his career record, 58-28-0 regular season, postseason 5-3, and 63-31-0 overall season. And he won the Super Bowl in 09, in 08 AFC Championship, he and his team, and 2010 AFC Championship. And his coaching stats, again, I shared some of those with you. A 95 Virginia Military Institute, all cadet wide receivers, 96, Memphis Tigers graduate assistant, 97, Arkansas State Red Wolves wide receivers, 98, Arkansas State Red Wolves defensive backs, 99, 2000, Cincinnati Bearcats defensive backs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive backs, Minnesota Vikings in 06, defensive coordinator in 07 to present, head coach. So that's the profile of Mike Tomlin, the current head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as I had profiled the teams before, you know, and Rich Rupnick and I had been talking about it last week, when I was just confirming that, hey, the Steelers is the team that has won the most Super Bowls also. So now we're going to go on. So we're through covering the AFC North coaches, and it's time to start with the NFC North coaches. And that, I'll go ahead and talk about the NFC North, and then next week talk about, do my best, do quickly go through all the NFC coaches so we won't be behind on our profiles. The NFC North is a division of the National Football League, National Football Conference, based in the upper Midwest region of the United States. It currently has four members, the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, and Minnesota Vikings. The NFC North was also called NFC Central from 78 to 01. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were members from 77 until 2002 due to the expansion of the Houston Texans. The NFC North, I'm reading some other information. The division was created in 1967, because I don't want to be redundant. The division was created in 1967 as the Central Division of the NFL's Western Conference and existed for three seasons before the AFL-NFL merger. After the merger, it was renamed the NFC Central and retained that name until the NFL split into eight divisions in 2002. The four teams have been together in the same division or conference since the Vikings joined the league in 61. The Bears, Lions, and Packers have been in the same division or conference since the NFL began a conference format in 33. Based on the ages of its teams, the NFC is the oldest division in the NFL. At a combined 316 years old, the Bears are 93 years old, founded in 1919 in Decatur, Illinois, moved to Chicago in 21. The Packers are also 93 years old, founded in 1919, but turned professional in 21. The Lions are 83 years old, founded in 1929 in Portsmouth, Ohio, moved to Detroit in 34. And the Vikings are 51 years old, founded in 61. The division has a total of 11 Super Bowl appearances. The Packers have the most appearances in the Super Bowl with 5. The most recent happened in 11. The Bears and the Packers have the only Super Bowl win of this division, a total of 5, 4 of the Packers and 1 for the Bears. Of the top NFL teams with the highest winning percentage throughout its franchise history, 3 of them are in the NFC North, the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings. The Lions, however, have one of the lowest winning percentages in the NFL, including the only winless 15-game season in NFL history. Entering 2012, the Bears lead the division with an overall record 7-12, 520-42 victory in the Super Bowl, and 8 pre-Super Bowl leads titles. Chicago's overall playoff record is 17-18. The Packers hold an overall record of 679-525-36, an overall playoff record of 29-17, 4 Super Bowl titles, and 9 pre-Super Bowl league titles. The Lions hold a record of 506-599-32, 4 league championships, and an 7-11 playoff record. As the youngest in terms of existence team in division, the Vikings hold a record of 416-349-9, and a playoff record of 19-26. The division earned the moniker Black and Blue Division due to its intense rivalries and physical style of play. And this nickname is still used regularly today. It is also known as the Frostbite Division, as all teams played home games in late season winter cold weather until the mid-70s. Division is also humorously called the Frozen North, although two of its teams, Detroit and Minnesota, have played their home games indoors since 75 and 82, respectively. ESPN sportscaster Chris Berman often refers to the division as the NFC North because it is geographically similarity to the National Hockey League Old Norris Division. The NFC North's geography has been compared to that of college conference, since all four of its home cities lie within the territorial boundaries of the NCAA Big D. Big Ten Conference. Excuse me. I must be thinking about the Cowboys. So we will begin talking about the head coaches of NFC North teams on next Friday, and we'll cover all of them: Minnesota Vikings, Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, starting with the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Lovie Smith. So that's cool. And also, yeah, I'm trying to squeeze the Mississippi sports news in with you all also, and play a little bit more music and share a little bit more news also. Big shout out to those of you who support the show. Loving you and thanking you and appreciating you. I know, my apologies for the live streaming only lasting 30 minutes. But more importantly, I thank you for supporting the show and listening to the show and chatting with me and interacting with me online. I have some of the most awesome online friends, those that I know in real life, and those of you, some of you are just so amazing. I look forward to meeting many of you in the near future. So, man, I head to the chat room just in case someone's in the chat room. I had left the screen for a minute. Here's David J.
Oh my goodness gracious. Jamaica right now.
Bahama mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, pounding down some vodka, did a backflip, then I landed in an opera. I rep that fucking Prada, I came from the water. See world high fashion, I'm looking like Madonna. Young K from Munch, gun stunts, so I just can't no more. Creeping down the street, and I'm bumping fucking reggaeton. Nine piece, eight balls, chirping on my telephone. Posted in Jamaica, smoking telephone. Get some rum, add some coconut, add some fruit juice. Then you stir it up, get some rum, add some coconut, add some fruit juice, then you stir it up, and now I'm feeling so tropical, long hair, and it's coming out my follicle. Try me, it ain't logical, I rock so much, iced out, I'm looking like a popsicle. Bahama mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama.
Mama, SeaWorld High Fashion. Hey, here's some Mississippi sports news for you guys and ladies. Okay. Ole Miss is playing Arkansas. Arkansas, and the headlines in the Clarion Ledger News, the newspaper of Jackson, Mississippi, and this article is written by Hugh Kellenberger. It headlines, Arkansas shouldn't slow Ole Miss progress. Arkansas defense among worst in SEC. And Oxford, boiled down to football's most basic stats. Ole Miss has already exceeded last season's production as it prepares to play at Arkansas on Saturday at 11:21 a.m. on SEC Network. Points, Ole Miss has 229 through seven games after scoring 193 in 2011. Yards, with 3,085 yards of offense so far, Ole Miss is 284 yards away from matching last season's total. The increased offensive production is a major reason why first-year coach Hugh Freeze has already doubled last season's wins total from 2-4. And with Arkansas struggling defense up next, another offensive explosion could be on the way. Not that Freeze is the one pushing that storyline, though. The Hogs, 3-4-2-2 SEC, are 12th in the SEC in scoring defense, 31 points a game and 13th in yards given up for 34.6. And that's after giving up a touchdown each to Auburn and Kentucky the last two games. Alabama scored 52 against Arkansas and Texas A&M put up 58. Both Louisiana Monroe and Rutgers got into the 30s. And with two of Arkansas's better players, linebackers Tenarius Wright and Alonzo Highsmith, sidelined with injuries, the team has to turn to a host of young players. Free said he sees those guys improving, though it has reason to believe the Arkansas everywhere saw stumble out to a 1-4 start. It's not the Arkansas his team will see on Saturday. They're very similar to us, Free said. Yeah, you can never underestimate. As I watch us progress throughout the year, I would like to say, when you put us on tape now, compared to earlier in the year, our kids are like Mike Hilton, Trey Elston, and the young kids we're playing back there. I would hope that all of those young kids have improved. I think Arkansas is very similar to that. As you watch them progress through their games, they've gotten better and better. Freeze and co-offensive coordinator Dan Werner will also focus in on a pair of stats that they feel tell them how the offense is executing yards gained on first down and third down conversion percentage. First down is so critical because gaining yards there allows Ole Miss to jump into its up-tempo offense. It's also where Werner would like to see the most improvement against Arkansas. First downs, we call it a win if we get more than 3 yards. We haven't done that as well, Werner said. We've done better the last couple of weeks, but we need to keep improving at that. Usually it's execution. It's not like we're calling plays that we think are going to lose yardage. But sometimes we would take a shot, and if you do give up a sack or something, it's a low percentage of getting the 3 yards we really want. But every now and then you do have to take a shot. Third down has been a money down for Ole Miss, though with 49.49% conversion rate, that is second in the SEC to Texas A&M. Again, though, improvement is necessary. We have dropped off a little the last 2 weeks, Freeze said. We were up around 54%, now it's 50. I don't like it any time we're taking a drop in a stat. That means that much to me. So this article is on Facebook, and I'm tweeting it out to you all also. And you all can just check out clarenledger.com and check out the sports section, those of you that really want to be updated on what's happening in Mississippi sports. And I know a lot of you do want to know. So I'm also going to plus it in Google also. And also, I'm just pausing. Want to check out a little bit more? I figured many of you wanted. I mean, I really wanted to. It was interested in that. Wanted to know what's up with that game. Mississippi State, Perkins to clash with nation's top rush defense. That's the next headline in sports. Running back Ladarius Perkins ready for Alabama challenge. And this is written by Brandon Marcello. Not one team has run the football effectively against Alabama this season. Alabama's defensive front. Wait, I don't know. Wait a second. I'm just making sure. Okay. Alabama's defensive front. Has frustrated so many teams, not a single player or team has combined for 100 yards on the ground since 2011. Number one, Alabama, 7-0, 4-0 SEC easily claims the nation's best rush defense, allowing an eye-popping 58.7 yards per game. Running the football seems fruitless against the Tide. Alabama hasn't been properly introduced, however, to the SEC's top running back this season. And I'm just making sure that, okay, yeah. I'm just making sure. I'm putting this on Facebook for you also. And that was my phone ringing. Reg Roughneck, if he had called me before 6, he could have got in. So when the live streaming stops, the phone calls cannot come in. And I have to conclude the show in a few minutes. I'm concluding the show in a few minutes trying to get this Mississippi news in. I need to change that schedule because I couldn't at first. It automatically had to go to 30 minutes, all my shows. So I have this posted. I want to finish this article. Just making sure that I'm giving you all the accurate info. Meet Mississippi State running back Ladarius Perkins, Alabama. Most inside the state of Mississippi know his name and his game. The 5'10", 190-pound speedster leads the SEC with 103.4 yards per game to go along with 8 touchdowns. The junior has yet to fall short of the 100 yard mark when he carries the ball 20 times. And he makes